And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 58. And this week it's Terry's turn to share something that she's been listening to. What have you got for us today, Terry?
Well, Daisy. So as I said in my last episode, I was going to talk a little bit more about this conversation with Tim Grover and Lewis Howes. And they did a second episode on it. So it was, you know, a couple of hours worth of their conversation. And this is from the School of Greatness podcast. It's episode 1112. And it's called Why You Need to Be Selfish to Win with Tim Grover. And I think what I did this time is I really just tried to listen to their conversation, which was a little bit more of a conversation versus a teaching experience, and just tried to pull what are the main themes that I think we could maybe benefit and what you and I could talk about. So at the end of our last conversation, we were talking about the difference between fear and doubt, and they both agreed that fear can actually drive you to win. It can push you forward. And self-doubt drives you to avoid losing and the consequences always that you end up not excelling. And so again, on a sports level, the two of them talked about playing to win rather than playing not to lose, that there's a big difference there. Mm. So they started talking a little bit more about this concept of self-doubt. And Tim Grover talked about the fact that his view is that really self-doubt comes from someone else. We are concerned about how someone else is going to see us or judge us or perceive us. And then we start to second guess ourselves and doubt our abilities. And that's kind of the Achilles heel. Once you're in that place of self-doubt, you struggle to really keep going and succeed. And he said that one of the things he believes about when you hit a period of doubt is that you need to speak it. And Lewis Howes seemed kind of shocked by this. Like, really? Almost like it would be better to just ignore it, get it out of your head. And he said, no, speak it. And then he described it that we become kind of addicted to our doubt. We kind of perseverate and we keep going on with it. And then we get into the what if this and what if this, and we just keep catastrophizing and making it worse. And he said, so it's better to speak it, put it out there and claim it with someone that you trust and someone who you think can get it so that you can get it out and get it managed. I thought that was an important thing. It's not, you know, everyone has some doubt at times, he says, but to really work on getting it out, naming it so that you can start to work around it. So I thought that was an important concept. And then he talked about one of the things that culturally so many of us are encouraged to do, and that is time management. And he said that his belief is that rather than focusing on managing time, we should work on managing focus. Because when we're looking at time, we have to have all these mechanisms and things to do to track what we're doing and plan and all this stuff. And that takes us away from what we're actually doing. So his belief in this arena is that really we should be focusing on managing our focus. And they both then gave examples of when you're doing something that's really important to you and you really focus on it, you often lose track of time. You don't know whether you've been doing it for 10 minutes or 5 hours or 3 days. Mm. So getting in that place of focus rather than worrying about your time and when am I going to do this and when do I have to do this, it just stood out to me because so much of, I feel like the kind of rat race these days is about time and being so little time. And so you always have to be focusing on what you're doing with your time. So that I thought was an interesting conversation that all of us could maybe think about. And then he talked about the concept of to win. And he is talking about winning. His book is about winning. But let's say your goal is to be the best parent you can be, or to be really good at your job or whatever it is, that the best way to achieve that and excel is you have to be, one, willing to endure some discomfort. And I think that's one that a lot of us struggle with. When things get complicated or challenging, uncomfortable, we start backing away. And he talked about, I think it was Kobe Bryant, that he really learned this from, that he could tolerate pain. And not just physical pain, but emotional pain, mental pain. Like he could just stay with it and keep going. And so talking about this willingness to be in a place of some discomfort on your way to your goal. And then when I think about a lot of conversations that you and I have and the way we kind of even got to know each other is with people working on improving their health or losing weight. And I know for me, when I struggle the most with this is when I don't want to deal with the discomfort of not eating problematic foods or the discomfort of my morning workout today. We want to avoid the discomfort, and that really holds us back from getting to where we want to be. So I think that one's really important.
It's quite often where you end up actually changing your goals or, I guess, settling for different goals. Mm-hmm. I am certainly guilty of that. Like I could be slimmer, I could be this, I could be that, but it's always that balance. Mm-hmm. Am I willing to go through the discomfort, or would I rather have more of the comforts and settle for less of a goal?
Absolutely.
Which, I mean, there's not always anything wrong with that,
right?
But it is a choice. It is a balance, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the problem that I see a lot with certain goals is that people really want them, but do a lot of things to get in the way of achieving them because of this factor. Achieving those goals often means some type of discomfort. Again, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, having to break long-term patterns and habits, it's that willingness and that ability to endure that discomfort. And I think my approach has always been, what's the least amount of discomfort I can still get close to my goal? Like I, you know, kind of try and do that balancing act. But when I really was listening to this, it really stood out to me that if I really want to win at whatever goal I'm working at, I do need to work on tolerating more discomfort, allowing myself to see that discomfort as progress toward the goal. So you may have seen my post that I did work out this morning because I need to do this. I know it's important for me. And then with that, talking about the idea that winning, excelling, accomplishing these important goals requires some being selfish. And a lot of us are very uncomfortable with this. We're uncomfortable with other people doing things that we see as selfish. But really what he's talking about here is setting boundaries about taking time for yourself, taking time to focus on your goals. So let's say, for example, your work colleague sets a boundary and they don't answer their emails during a certain time of the day while they're working on other things. You'll hear people say, well, that's really selfish of him or her. No, that is them really focused on the goal of doing their job well and getting through it successfully. And so getting more comfortable with that idea of I have to secure this time for focus on my goal. And if it seems selfish to someone else, that's okay. And Tim Grover really brought out the point. He's like, why is selfish such a bad word for us? Why do we see that as so negative? And then of course they talk about some examples of people who have excelled in sports and things, and they had to be selfish. Parents that were raising a star athlete, they had to protect how that teenager or however old the person was at the time, what they did in their spare time and who they hung out with. And of course, other parents could have said, wow, they're really selfish. But their child then became the, you know, leading violinist in the world, or, you know, the youngest protege of this, or the Olympic swimmer who won all those gold medals. And so that idea of being selfish is often required, taking time, setting those boundaries, and really not giving in to how other people think you should be using your time or interacting with them or whatnot. The other thing that was an important message for me to think about, but a little bit challenging, because I'm not usually someone who thinks about winning, like that's the only goal, but talked about winning takes obsession. And when he talks about any of his star athletes that he worked with or business professionals, teams that he's worked with, success is their focus. And everyone else from the outside may seem them as a little bit obsessive about it. And he said, that's right, they are. Early in the first episode, he talked about a question he would ask people. What's one word about winning? And so people might say things like accomplishment or fun. And he uses the example again of Kobe Bryant, who when you ask him, what is winning? What's the one word you associate with winning? He said, everything. And so this really is Tim Grover's mindset on this, that for his athletes, it is winning. Now, I want to be clear. He also talks about he doesn't just mean winning the championship or just winning personally, but that the team wins, the people win, that when you're focused on winning, it actually helps when other people are winning with you. So it's not just a narrow focus only on your own winning. Mm-hmm. But that idea that you do have to be kind of laser focused on doing some of these difficult things, starting a startup business. How did Lewis Howes get to episode, 11, 12? He had to be kind of obsessive about it at times. And I was just having a conversation recently in the community in which I work around weight loss or improving health, and people talking about early on when they were so focused on it, they did really well and their progress was steady. And then as they get closer to goal, they start slowing in their progress. And there are lots of reasons for this, but I really believe one reason is because they've lost some of that focus and kind of obsessiveness about it. Now, certainly, I think this is also something we have to figure out how to balance, because I think we can miss out on a lot of things in life and we can stress ourselves out with being too obsessive about something. But it really made me think about, if I want to achieve and maintain my goals, that I need to keep that close in mind. I need to, maybe for me, obsess about it a little more in a positive way to keep that momentum going. So these were, again, like I said, just the key concepts from their conversation. The rest of the conversation was just fun stuff about different stories he told about working with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, and I can't even think of some of the other athletes' names, but it really is kind of an inspiring couple of episodes. And again, I listened to him on other podcasts as well, that this guy who he wanted to be a professional athlete, but he didn't have the physical, he didn't have the ability. But the mindset and the way he's able to train people to succeed, I think is fascinating. Lewis Howes asked him, who is the greatest athlete you ever trained? Doesn't have to be a basketball player, but who's the greatest one? And Tim Grover didn't say the person's name, but what he said that was interesting is that that person had the most ability, athletic ability and talent, but they weren't a winner because they were so focused and relied so much just on their athletic ability that they didn't carry enough of this drive to win. They didn't have the mindset, the coachability, all of these other pieces that it takes to be a winner in that arena. And so I thought that was important too.
I see what you mean. Yeah, a certain sort of amount of complacency, mm-hmm. because if you have that talent already, you haven't got to work so hard for it. Mm-hmm.
And then what he pointed out was he was the best athlete. Like he was on, but he never became a winner. He was more concerned about brand, image, all of these other things, that he wasn't, Kobe Bryant was focused on winning.
Yeah, so that's when you were saying about the focus, having the right focus, the focus in the right place. Mm-hmm.
And so although this person had maybe more athletic ability than some of these others, he did not have this focus on winning, of how to excel and help others around him excel.
Mm. It made me think of, I don't know if these two terms kind of overlap or they are the same thing. When you were talking about the time management and Tim Grover talking more about, it's about managing focus and how you lose track of time when you're focused on something that you enjoy, or the focus because it's towards this goal or whatever it is. When you're focused, when you've got this laser focus on something, you lose track of time. So I can see that it's more about the focus than it is about the time. It brought that that term flow state to mind. I don't know if you feel that. Is that the same kind of thing? It feels like the same kind of thing when you're in that flow state.
Yeah, I would say so. It's that, you know, you're doing the thing that fits with your goal and you're in it and you just go and everything's just in tune.
Everything's flowing. Mm-hmm. Everything's going in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. And they gave examples of, Tim Grover talked about, you know, you see people coming to the gym and they're more concerned with, do they have the right song? Oh, I don't like that song. Let me forward through that song, versus just do the work. Focus on the work that you need to be doing there. They get so caught up with all these things that are going to help them work out and help them do this. And I know I do that.
I was just going to say, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
So again, one of the things I just enjoyed listening to these two, even though they are talking about really an area that I know very little about. Obviously, I don't know much about professional athletics, but this is very interesting. They talked about, again, going back to the selfishness thing. They were talking about, and I'm trying to see if I can make this make sense, but Tim Grover basically said it would be more selfish for these people not to do these above and beyond things, because that would be withholding what they have to offer from other people. So for example, if someone had said to Lewis Howes, you know, you spend too much time creating this new business and doing all this stuff, but look what he's able to do. Look at the messages he's able to bring to people from all of the experts that he has interviewed across the board in all these different areas. That took selfishness. That took him not taking certain calls and not attending certain things and maybe hurting some feelings, but that it would be wrong for him not to, because that's where he can really contribute. And they talked about some athletes. I can't imagine how much you pay Tim Grover to coach you, but they made some references to him and some other trainers that, you know, you might pay $600,000 to. And people say, well, that's just selfish. You know, if this athlete has that much money to throw away at a trainer, but the reality is he has to invest that in his training to be a winner. And that makes all of his team winners and other people that are benefiting. And several of the athletes that they talked about were also people who were very giving and doing great things outside of the sports arena as well. But what appears as selfishness to other people and these things that they buy themselves and pay for, like this coaching or this training, that's actually part of them being a winner.
It's interesting, just a slight change of perspective, a different way of framing things. It's often just quite a subtle shift, isn't it? But it's interesting how different that can be. Like you were talking about the trappings of context, having to, you know, get all the bits right that you think is the important part of, say, working out. You know, you need the right gear, you need the right music, you know, none of that is actually very important, is it? But I think we can get really distracted by all those things. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting that the slight shift and what you were talking about just then about having to be selfish in a way to not be selfish, to give what you have to give. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy to picture it when you're talking about these more extremes, if you like, and these sports examples and things. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, how it works in that much more middle ground. We touched on in the last episode, we talked a bit about it felt like quite a male environment, this for it maybe to be a bit easier to be selfish, to have this laser focus, and definitely a generalization, but for women, their focus often needs to be a bit more split. They can't be quite as selfish. I don't know, how does that fit in with that more middle ground area, especially when it comes to women, with, you know, when what happens when they need to be selfish to achieve their goals, when they have to go through the discomfort? How is it going to work in that more normal area, more day-to-day, what, you know, some people listening to this might be experiencing who aren't, you know, they haven't got that, don't need that laser focus on an athletic goal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's often easier, isn't it, to picture these things in extremes. It's when it's in that muddy middle area, it can get a bit more tricky.
Well, one thought I had as you were asking is just thinking about, for example, one way that I see this playing out that might feel a little more difficult is for parents. And I think in certainly in many cultures, the role of mom and what is expected. And so let's say, for example, it's a woman who is a mother and runs a business or is a competitive tennis player or whatever it is. How do you kind of have these two roles? Mm. And my guess is, just as I'm thinking on this off the cuff, but my guess is they would need to have other people in places for support that can help do the other things, that if they're going to do kind of more laser focus on this, let's say this business that they're running, they need to have a partner or a spouse who can very much do more of the parenting while they're not at home, or, you know, while they're in training, if they're, let's say, that professional tennis player or whatever. And in some couples that are raising children, both of them might be very much in this advanced stage of winning or advanced business. And so they may have to have other people involved, other family members, a nanny, whatever that looks like, to support the whole system. I think there are just ways that it happens culturally. I don't want to make an overgeneralization, but I think often the expectation is that women will do more of that childcare work, or the mom will do more of that. And so I think that's just another layer that needs to be navigated. I had a client years ago who was a very successful attorney, and I don't remember what her husband did, but they had a young child. And she came to me for therapy, and we were working on some things. And one of the things she was working on is just never feeling like she was doing a good enough job. And I remember she said something to the effect of, "This whole women's lib movement be damned," because what it did is it made it possible, and for me, an expectation that I can do everything. I can be the best mom, I can be the best attorney, I can be the best at this. And that was actually quite complicated. And she was finding very little time to take care of herself and try and be very successful at her job and be very connected with her child and very hands-on. And she said, in principle, I really believe in it. But in actuality, how it plays out, it's complicated.
Well, that's what you were saying, wasn't it, in the last episode, where you spoke about that they were saying that you can't have this split focus. You need to be all in on one thing at a time. But that's what came to mind, an example like that, with people who can't really. Their focus always has to be split to a certain extent. I guess that's the challenge of how to navigate that.
We also might need to just kind of think about what we mean by laser focus. Is that 24/7, every day, always? Versus another example, and again, it was a male that he was talking about, but Dwayne Wade, who I don't know, but one of the lessons that Tim Grover learned from him is about how invested Dwayne was in his kids, his family, and how important that was. And so he had to set aside a certain amount of time to stay very connected with his kids and be very involved. And at some point during their work together, Dwayne and his wife went through a very messy divorce. And so he, again, was navigating traveling home for managing this and everything. And certainly he missed out on certain things, or he wasn't able to be at certain things, but that was what was important to him. So yes, he could be very focused on his athletic abilities and his winning, but he was also very focused on winning as a parent. And so he did have to do both. And then the other thing he said that I think is complicated for many of us is when he was in his work world, so for him, basketball, I guess, but you didn't see that other stuff on him. His teammates didn't know what was going on. You know, he was there to win and he gave it all he had then. And I'm guessing the same when he was home and with his kids, you didn't see him focusing on his work. And so I think that's the piece. I don't know what the balance looks like for people, but it really is when you're with the one task, you're focusing on that task and goal. And when you're with the other, you're focused on that. Mm. So it doesn't have to mean complete to one at all costs to the other. I don't know if I'm making sense, but you know, you'd have to figure out maybe while he was home during different parts of the season, he was full-time dad. And then during the season, he was not able to be as focused on that. And so again, there are sacrifices, I guess, that you make to win in one arena or the other.
No, actually, that makes a lot of sense. So it is really about focus management. And it's that example you used earlier about the person at work who had periods of time where they weren't answering emails because they were focused on a particular task. And it brings to mind something I read a little while ago about the whole myth of multitasking. They were saying actually that multitasking doesn't exist. Nobody can multitask. You can multitask doing certain things. So certain things that are pretty automatic. Mm-hmm. So for example, you could quite effectively multitask having a conversation with somebody as you're walking because the walking is pretty well automatic. And so you're mostly actually focusing on the conversation, or maybe you're focusing on listening to a podcast, whatever it is, those kind of two things you can do quite well together. But one has to be pretty well subconscious, automatic, for you to have that other focus. But if there are two tasks that both need your focus, you can't multitask. Mm-hmm. They were saying what you actually do is you flip very quickly between the two, and neither one gets your full attention. And so what you're better off doing is focusing on one and then focusing on the other. Mm-hmm. And so that, yes, that makes a lot of sense to me. It's actually about, well, it is time management as well as focus management, but to be all in when you're there. So I, you know, I'm thinking of that, yeah, the stereotypical, the parent who's always working, the difference between, even if it's quite a small amount of time that that parent has with their child, if they have laser focus on that, as opposed to maybe having twice the amount of time, but they're only half focused because they're looking at their emails at the same time.
Absolutely.
There's a big, big difference, isn't there?
Yep.
And the child in question here is going to feel that laser focus, even if it's for a much shorter period of time. That's going to be much better than a longer period of time without the focus.
So again, really, you're highlighting that concept of it's not about time management, about focus management, managing what you're focusing on and what you're paying attention to. Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. So I think that's something that's the little nugget that I'm taking away from this, because I know my focus often gets way too split. So I think, yes, I need to work on my focus management.
And I think for everyone, whether just from what you and I have talked about or if they go back and listen to some of these episodes, I definitely thought I was going to have nothing to gain from listening to this. Here's this guy talking about training professional athletes and busy business entrepreneurs and things. I'm not going to get anything from it, but I really did. And I think there are things that we all can look at applying. And one of the big takeaways for me is that tolerance of some discomfort to really focus on my goals. So I hope everyone has a great week.
Have a great week.
Bye, everybody.